Welcome to the eGovernance Academy podcast to discover the future of governance. eGovernance Academy has assisted digital transformation globally in more than 130 countries. Our experts will share their insights and worldwide examples on how digital technology could benefit every society. Tune in for the Digital Government Podcast every Wednesday.
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. I am Federico Plantera, journalist, researcher, and sociologist. And today, for this summer episode of the podcast of eGovernance Academy, we have Kaya Kirch, Head of Digital Identity Technologies at Cybernetica. Welcome, Kaya.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So today, we're going to introduce to our listeners a topic that has been already, let's say, been talked about for some time, and it's also in a way that gaining momentum also among other countries, let's say, not necessarily in Europe, but also like outside Europe, that are maybe like attempting to increase their capabilities to indeed verify the identity of not only just like citizens, but also just like passengers, for example, when it comes to transport. And this topic is indeed the use of biometric data for identification and authentication, and what are the pros and cons of using this data. But of course, before getting into that, we need to somehow lay out a general or understandable to everyone, let's say, definition of what biometric data is and how businesses and governments at the moment are using this data. So, Kaya, the floor to you.
Thank you. The question about what biometric data is, when we look at it very broadly, biometric data basically is anything related to our physical person, that's any data related to our physical person that is able to identify us. So the most common biometric data is, of course, fingerprints, which has been used in criminalistics for a long time, but now also facial images are used to identify people. That's also biometric data. Iris information, DNA. But if we look at it in a broader sense, then biometric data is also the way our ear looks, or the next to the fingerprint, it's also the toe print that has the biometric data, and also how, for example, we move or how we walk. This can also be considered biometric data, and this can be measured and then compared again to back to that data, and we can be identified based on the data. But when use of biometric data is considered, then normally we have to take into account how convenient it would be for the person to provide that data. So it's easy to provide a fingerprint. It's easy to take photo and get the facial image, but it may be quite inconvenient to get the toe print or something like that to compare the biometric data. So in its essence, biometric data is something from our physical person, and that can be collected, and that data also needs to be the same in the next collection, because we need to compare that data to ensure that it is the same person.
And it also, of course, like needs to be unique to us in order to allow for the unique identification, indeed, of like that person, and also for something that, in any case, like stays consistent over time, as you said. So in the sense that at the first time that you take it, and at the second time and third time that you take it in a long time spell, then that element is still can still be reconciled, let's say, to that very specific person, no?
But that could be sometimes difficult. I mean, the fingerprint, yes, it stays the same. We have the same fingerprint when we are born. It just grows a bit larger. But when it comes to facial image, we change. It's not the same throughout 20 years, for example. There are certain kind of data points in your facial image that could be the same. For example, the distance between the eyes and the distance between the nose, tip of the nose and the mouth. But in its essence, facial image as biometric data is something that's not the same throughout your life. It is changing. And when we think about the technologies capturing that facial image and also the technologies comparing the facial images, then these technologies all need to take into account that change that happens over the lifetime of the person.
I was mentioning before the fact that not only governments but also businesses are interested in are increasingly, of course, like looking into adopting biometric recognition and the use of biometric data, like to verify the identity of users. So this is maybe like an aspect or like a field that I personally don't know much about, in the sense, what are the potential use cases among, like, within the private sector? So, for example, if we were to maybe outline two examples for the public and two examples for the private sector. I mean, for the public sector, we already talked about criminal studies and, like, criminology. And, for example, maybe we can also identify, I don't know, like, the public transport in the sense of, like, air by air, for example, in airports. Is that a private or a public business case?
I think for the airports, it depends whether it's border control or whether it's checking into your flight. So that's different for the public and the private. But you can use biometrics in both.
And if we were to mention like another case that is a more day-to-day type of use case, let's say, in the private sector for businesses, where biometric data recognition is being used at the moment?
Well, when we think about what we do every day, is that one of the things that we do is we use our money. We pay for something. We use the bank card, but we also do the transfers from our bank accounts. So biometrics can be used in that sense in authentication. But then again, it needs to be considered how accurate that biometrics can be. So that's probably why biometrics is not used very widely yet in transferring money. But that's one of the use cases. But another one could be access to something, some physical building. You need to go somewhere. You need to get access. We normally have those key cards that we need to carry around. But biometrics can be something that can replace those key cards. So if I just turn up at the door and the door has my facial image, or not the door, but the database has my facial image recorded before that. So the facial image can be compared at the door, and the door can open without the key card, but just having my biometric information compared. Or the same with fingerprints, for example.
But Kaya, you just, for example, brought up the example of the badges that we use, maybe, like, I don't know, to access buildings at a certain time, for example, when we need to go to work. Like, I know this is, for example, very, very present and very salient in the public administration offices of most countries in Europe, for example. But what I was wondering is, why are we talking about biometric data, in the sense, is there something wrong or insufficient with the other methods of authentication that we have used so far, which instead, like, requires at this point us to explore a new, more tailored to the person way of identifying the users or the citizens in the performance of these type of activities?
That's a really good question. I think one of the issues why we talk about biometrics is that we don't like to carry things with us. We normally have our mobile phone, and we want to have all the information that we need in there. We don't want to have all those cards with us. We don't want to remember all the passwords. and all the different ways of getting access to what we need to get access to. So in a way, biometrics is something that we always have with us. So why not use it? But of course, there is another side to that as well, which is that biometric data is something very unique to us. And we don't want that data to be stolen. So that's why information security is always very important when it comes to using biometrics. But it, in its essence, it's the convenience. It's the way the biometric makes your life easier. You don't have to have anything with you and you can still get access because you always have your face or all your fingerprint with you anyway. So you don't need to have any other physical thing to carry with you, and biometrics can replace that.
Okay. Understood. Because indeed, like there might be at that point when it comes to just looking at the topic of biometric data and biometric recognition, a bit of a trade-off in the sense that you say that maybe some people might ask themselves the question: okay, like is this is what I am gaining in the convenience? Let's say. Balancing properly what I am actually giving in terms of unique information about me in digital form to a business or to a government, for example, in order to do this specific activity. Also because indeed, rather the question that I asked was coming rather from the fact that from the different use cases. Because maybe like for some things you don't necessarily need like the I don't know that high level of like security and authentication, but it might still be data, for example, that you just give and that you and information about yourself that is unique and that you give, but that maybe otherwise. Yes, that solves, I don't know, the fact that you have one card less or that it takes 1 second instead of 3 seconds or 5 seconds to access, to log in, I don't know, your bank app on the phone, for example. But some people might think, okay, but is this trade-off worth it, basically?
I think it's a really good point because it's quite easy to think that, well, giving your fingerprint at the door and getting the access is quite easy, and why not to do that? But when setting up that kind of service, you also have to think about whether you really need to identify that person uniquely. I mean, the person who needs to come in from the door. Because, for example, we normally go to... I don't know, spas or saunas or gym to do the exercise. We need to get the access. But the point of getting the access to the gym, for example, is to show that we have paid for the service and not to identify me as me in that sense. So I don't need to be uniquely identified in every situation. And that's why it should be really considered whether biometrics is something that needs to replace the key card or whether there is some sort of simpler solution, because the biometric data is quite sensitive data, unique data. You can only lose it once, for example, because you can't replace it with any other data. So when using biometrics, in my opinion, it should be used in a situation where the person really needs to be uniquely identified. And that's not every situation in our everyday life.
Indeed, Gaia, based on your personal experience also before Cybernetica, because while we were talking before starting the recording of the podcast, you were telling me that before joining Cybernetica in October 2020, you were working at the police and border guard of Estonia, which so in the Estonian public sector. And what I wanted to on relevant topics. So, what I wanted to ask you in that sense is, if we were to place on two parallel lines a little bit, let's say the rush to the technological adoption of biometric data because biometric data is so cool, and on the other hand, let's say on a parallel track, indeed these concerns, but also just talks about the proportionality and how appropriate and when it is appropriate and necessary, actually necessary, to use this type of data to identify someone. Like, at what stage do you think that these two different tracks are at the moment? There is more hype for the rush to the technology, or the privacy and necessity, let's say, concerns have also like prevailed a little bit? This just in your personal experience, but also to introduce a little bit what we have done in Estonia so far in terms of biometric recognition.
When you pose the question like that, I think it's a constant battle, and it's not going to change anytime soon. And it is good, because we need to think about future technologies. We need to start using technology differently. So in that sense, the push to use biometrics is a good thing. But there also always needs to be that other side of the conversation, which is the privacy, the data security, the proportionality. And somebody always needs to question if and why we would need to use biometric in a certain situation. So it is a constant battle, and it's supposed to be a constant battle. And I think that's really good, because we would probably create really, really good solutions to use biometrics, and we can think about the data security and everything. But the proportionality is normally something that we don't think about in the first instance. So it is good that there is a discussion, and there is somebody always asking those questions and kind of pushing the technological people to think about why this is being used, why we would need to have biometrics in a certain situation, and also how it is going to be used and how the data is going to be protected. Because in the current stage, we are probably able to set up biometric services quite easily. But the other side that we would need to think about is that what happens with that data in the future? Who gets access to that data? How are the procedures regulated? How is the data protected also in the future, so that the database that we are creating is not ending up somewhere else serving some other purpose? So that's something that needs to be very carefully considered when it comes to biometric services.
But we're already we are exactly now stretching out to the, let's say, to addressing an aspect of the topic of biometric recognition, which is not necessarily connected to the technology in itself, but indeed to what comes around and beyond the technology and the technological elements in order to make this happen, and which, as it maybe can turn out also for other topics that are related to e-governance, then maybe comes to be even like more important, let's say, than the technology in itself, in order to make biometric recognition, identification and authentication function properly, and also in a way that is acceptable for the population to do that. So what are these elements? What are these things that you need to have in place, basically, and that you need to address in order to realize a successful biometric strategy, in the sense of like in order to start using the data and this type of recognition like in a proper, effective way?
Well, first of all, I would say that there needs to be legislation in place saying how this data can be used, how this data can be collected, but also saying what is the meaning of that data. So when we think about biometrics, we can think that if my face or my fingerprint is compared, and the computer basically says that it's me, then should we trust only that information, or should there be something else? What I mean is that when biometric service is set up, it should be considered whether this is something to help the the official or in private sector, the desk clerk who is providing the service? Or is this something that is so uniquely trusted that the official who is looking at the data is not able to make their own decision? And in my opinion, biometrics normally is something that can assist and help. But there may also be false positives and false negatives. So this should also be considered. So when legislation is drafted, this is something that needs to be considered. What is the meaning of the data? And also, how can I challenge that data? Meaning that if the response is false negative, and I know that it's me, but I'm identified as somebody else, or somebody else is identified as me, there needs to be procedures in place how the data should be corrected and can be corrected, and how me as a physical person can request that data to be corrected. So legislation is one of the things, and the other thing is also the working procedures around that. So if we have biometric comparison and it's used in processes where you have hundreds of people going through, you also need to have the working procedures there. So, for example, we talked about the airports and biometric checks at the airports. If you get a false negative at the airport, you need to have procedures what to do with that person. Or it can be some other false positive as well. You need to have procedures in place how to operate after you get the response from the system.
Kaya, in order to bring up some more examples on a context that we know very well, which is indeed the Estonian one. So what are the examples that we can bring up of like how in Estonia biometric data is being used already, for example, or under development, let's say, for use soon to come? And also in that sense, as Cybernetica, what are the projects that involve biometric data that you have been involved so far, or have you or if you cannot talk about them, like have you seen any like particular interest, let's say, from certain governments or businesses towards developing biometric data recognition?
What Cybernetica is doing in the field of biometric data is mostly analysis on how to set up systems using biometric data, and also in a way risk analysis, thinking about how, if and how biometrics should be used in a certain process at all. So we are working on that side, basically analyzing and thinking how this kind of technology can be used and should be used. And considering all the pros and cons that are related to that. So, for example, what we've done, one of the examples is that we've created a business analysis for ABIS database and considered what can the architecture of such database be, or what should it be, and proposed a couple of different approaches for the architecture of such a large system. But what we've also analyzed is how to use facial biometrics in a certain procedure and analyze the risks that be related to using biometrics in such a procedure. But if you ask how biometrics in Estonia is used at the moment, then I would say that it's used somewhat, but not very largely. So one of the services that I can think of at the moment is, for example, the notary, where you can have yourself identified and you can have the notary session remotely from the convenience of your home or office. So what, that's one of the procedures that I, as far as I know, is working quite conveniently. And you have the biometric comparison service built into the system. But you also have, in addition, after the biometric identification, there is also the video stream where the notary can see you, can check the photo of your document, and can verify again the identification that was done automatically before the session. So I think that's one of the good examples how biometrics is used in Estonia at the moment. And I think that's especially good and was started to use because of the virus situation that we have, and people weren't able to move. So that's that helps us to avoid the physical contacts, but still get the procedures done, and the life can go on.
Kaija, I will ask you one last question with a yes/no answer. So,
really,
are we? Is it yes? Hopefully, it requires a yes or no answer. But the question would be: so, is it possible that in the near future we will see more and more public services, such as, for example, applying for certain social benefits, or like I don't know, requiring like a digital signature, something that currently requires digital signature, or something like that? Is it possible that soon, or be more soon than later, let's say, that we will see public services being accessed through biometric data instead of like the authentication tools that we have at the moment?
I can't give a yes or no answer to the question.
What would be a known yes or no answer to that?
It's really difficult for me to give yes or no answer to that question, because, well, first of all, I can't predict the future. but second of all, I think 10 years ago, people already thought that biometrics is going to replace all the normal procedures that we have because it's so convenient. We always have the finger and face with us. It hasn't happened. And today, 10 years later, we think about the privacy and the data security even more than we did before. So when it comes to technological side, then it should be possible to use biometrics in much more services than we do at the moment. But when we think about the other side and the data privacy and the concerns that may come together with using biometrics, then this is another matter, and people are not that willing to use biometrics anymore. So it's really difficult to say if we are going to use biometrics more in digital services or in government services. So it's I think it's going to be that battle between technology and the privacy concerns that we need to still continue and see where it takes us.
Yeah, for me, the lesson learned is that I should stop asking yes or no questions, because every time that I try to do that for the end of a podcast, then we end up, but it depends. And then we need to explain everything. Of course, because it's complicated and serious topics. So it only makes sense. But Kaija, let's wrap it up here. And thanks a lot for joining us today for this episode of the Digital Government Podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And to all our listeners, of course, you can listen not only to this episode, but also to all the other ones on maybe like during your summer breaks. I don't know if you're interested in it. Of course, like on the website of eGovernance Academy. And then for the rest, that is it. See you all at the next episode of the Digital Government Podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by eGovernance Academy. Tune in on next Wednesday.